Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 8. And in verse 29, the Word of God says that the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to his, that is the Ethiopian eunuch's, chariot. The Spirit said unto Philip, and Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understand this thou what thou hast readeth. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The Spirit said to Philip in Acts 8:29, go near and join yourself to this chariot. We're going to continue today in our series on our call to be soul winners. And we have talked about the call from above, how God calls us to be soul winners. We've talked about the call from below, how the lost in hell call to us to be soul winners. We've talked about the call from without, that the lost themselves call to us to be soul winners. And now we are going to talk about the call from within. The Spirit said to Philip, be a soul winner. Go to that lost man over there who is seeking for me and give him the gospel. The Spirit said that. The man had a desire, but it was a spirit who gave the call. And so we go out to be soul winners. I don't know why, when we have been called to be soul winners, people do not obey the call. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yet people do not do this. God Himself gave the commandment, the commission, go into the world and preach the gospel. It's a very simple statement. And the Holy Spirit in us tells us, go and preach the gospel. Philip, go join yourself to that chariot. Go and preach the gospel. And as we go about our daily lives, the Holy Spirit will say to us, preach the gospel to someone. Share the love of Christ with someone. Give someone a tract. Talk to this person over here. I can't even think of the number of times that this has happened to me when God said to me, go speak to that person. The Holy Spirit calls us from within. Now, I have to recognize that the Holy Spirit is God. If I don't, in faith response, obey the Holy Spirit of God, I am living in disobedience. That is called sin. Yet one believer after another simply will not preach the gospel. We have this strange mystery of iniquity that operates in us. That despite the fact that God says things like, gather together much more as you see the day approaching, people don't. They know they should, they don't. People know that they should get built up in the Word of God every day, and they don't. They know they ought to, but they don't. People know they should be soul winners, but they don't soul win. They just won't. Why? It's the mystery of iniquity, whereby I feel like for some reason I don't have to respond to God. I feel like, God, this doesn't really apply to me, and I can give you all the good reasons why I shouldn't respond to God and what He said. Do you know who gives you reasons to not respond to the Word of God? It's not God. It's the mystery of iniquity in us that we have this thing where it's so clearly spelled out, and yet faith, obedience, is replaced with pride resistance. And I actually resist what God is drawing me into. I actually resist what God has said. It's the same mystery that operates in people in their relationships too, where people are perhaps reactionary or unkind or somehow negative in their relationships. When God says, husbands, love your wives, they don't do it. Wives, respond to your husbands, they don't do it. Right? Teach your children in the way they should go. Parents don't do it. Why? They can come up with 10,000 reasons. You can give me 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't go. I'll give you one that you should. God said. And my one reason will trump 10,000 of yours. Because God said. Why should I be a soul winner? God said. Why should I go? God said. Simple. Say, why should I be kind and loving to my spouse? God said. Why should I do these things? Why should I live in faith obedience? Why should I lay down my life? God said. Yeah, we in the mystery of iniquity have this thing where we can come up with rationalizations to excuse ourselves and convince ourselves, because we're certainly not convincing God, convince ourselves that obeying Him in faith obedience is not really necessary. And I have a good reason. But nevertheless, God said. And so, we have been given this great commission. Where the Bible says, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. In Romans 10:14, the Word of God says, how shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? How can a person get saved if they don't believe God? How will they believe on Him whom they have not heard? If I've never heard of Christ, if I've never heard of the love of God, if I've never heard about the Savior and what He has done for me, how can I believe in it? How shall they hear without a preacher? If there's nobody to tell them, how are they going to hear? How are they going to believe? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, the question is, sent by whom? How shall they go, how shall they preach, if they're not sent? Sent by whom? Well, it's the Spirit of truth that does the sending. The Holy Spirit is the one who sends us, just like He does everything else, just like every other call that we receive in our lives, just like every other step of faith that we take. It's a faith response to Him. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who is sending us to be soul winners. Even Jesus didn't go on His own. He was sent. But He was in fact sent. And so He went. But with us believers who are the body of Christ, presumably, because the Bible says so, but the question is, am I really a believer if I don't function in the body of Christ? I'll let you figure that one out. If I don't function in the body of Christ, with the moving of the Holy Spirit as He directs, then I've been sent, but I never went. Now, my brain tells my hand to do something, and it does it. My hand doesn't argue with my brain. My brain says, pick up that glass. My hand says, no. I don't feel like it. I'm too tired. I have better things to do. I'd rather work the remote control. My hand does not argue with my brain. My brain says it. My hand does it. Yet we ignore the call from within. That makes me a malfunctioning member of the body of Christ. If all of a sudden I try to pick up a glass and my hand goes and starts playing with the remote, contrary to what I have told my hand and the desire that I have, and all of a sudden my hand on its own is kind of playing with the remote, you know what I would do? I would go to the doctor to figure out what's wrong with my hand. And chances are I'd spend a lot of money trying to figure out what's wrong with my hand. Yet we believers do our own thing without responding to the one who has sent us. And we'll say, instead of going, I'll do this. Instead of going, I'll be busy. Instead of going, I'll whatever. The reasons are as varied as people. But we're a malfunctioning portion of the body of Christ. Now, I'm not dealing with this legalistically. I understand that some people are not able physically. They are not capable of it for whatever reason. But they can still participate in it through prayer. Because those who are out there soul winning need those who are praying for them. It's a partnership. It's a joint effort between the prayer warriors and the preachers. And so let's say that I have an illness and I can't go. Let's say that I am a mom with 8 kids and I can't go. Then you can pray. Because it's a joint effort. But they won't pray either. That's the thing. They won't take that time and say, okay, I'll pray for a season of time while they are out there so that they can be covered by my prayers. Because God commands angels according to our prayers. And so, they don't even pray. Why? There's a malfunction. Something has gone awry in the connection between God and the body. And the calling of the head, the hand isn't responding to. Why? Something's wrong. When the Holy Spirit indwells us, He calls us. One of the first and most important things that He calls us to is soul winning. When water enters a cup, it needs to be emptied. If water is never emptied from the cup, the water gets stagnant. A lot of believers have problems in their lives because they don't respond to the call from within. A lot of believers have problems of self in their lives. Self-consciousness, self-orientation, whatever. Things that can paralyze them. Because they don't respond to the call from within. And they never get delivered in some cases from those problems because they haven't responded to the call from within. You see, the call from within is our provision to have the life and the Word of God flowing through us. This is why they were to smash the lanterns. Like they have to, you have to break the vessel so that what is inside the vessel gets out. What is inside the vessel is not meant to stay in the vessel. It has to get out. The vessel is simply a means of carrying it so that it can get out at the right place. And so the Word of God that was given to us is not meant to simply stay in us. Yes, it stays in us as part of our frame of reference, but it is meant to move through us. Pastor Stevens once preached a message called Spiritual Constipation, talking about believers who will not preach the gospel. And so the word that has been given to them actually kind of backs up in them. And it doesn't profit them the way it is designed. Why? Because it never gets out. Notice that if you have a cup or something that has something in it and it needs washing, you don't pour water into the cup and sit the cup on the counter. You pour water in, you pour water out. You pour water back in, you pour water back out. You pour water back in, you pour water back out, and the cup gets cleaned. This is what the call from within does for us. I have issues, I have troubles, I have iniquities, I have sin, I have an old sin nature, I have insecurities, I have self-consciousness, I have all kinds of things, things I have to deal with. Yeah, as a believer, I think, well, if I want to deal with these things, pour the water in. And I do. But it doesn't occur to me that I need to pour the water back out, or it just stays there. And the problem never goes away. Why? Because just like the cup, if whatever's in the cup that needs cleaning, it'll just stay in the cup. And it hasn't done any good, because then the water evaporates and it's still in the cup. It didn't become clean. There's a call from within. And this call is as much for our benefit as it is for the lost. In fact, it is first for our benefit and then for the lost. Being a soul winner, the first soul I win is my own. Why? Because I need the various components and elements of salvation for the various details and aspects of my life as much as the next person does. Even though I'm already born again, I still need the benefits of God. I still need Him to move through me. And if He doesn't, because I refuse to pour Him out, then I become stagnant. I may say to myself, but I don't know what to say, people won't respond. You know, that may be true, but it doesn't amount to anything. You just go and you sow in, and your soul gets won. Trouble is, we think we're out there for the lost. God sends us for ourselves. It was interesting that in Acts chapter 8, there were two things that in fact happened. One was a salvation, and one was a miracle. The salvation took place when the believer responded to the call from within. But in that believer's habitual response to the call from within, God did miracles, and He translated to Philip elsewhere. When I'm someone who's willing to respond to the call from within, I will see God move in miraculous ways. I'll see Him move in other people's lives. I'll see Him move in my life. But it's not going to happen unless I'm responding to that call from within. No one can believe unless they've heard. Yet the vast majority of the world has not heard. And therefore the vast majority of the world does not believe. Why do you think that we have things going on in our country and also in the world that we as Christians are so frustrated with? It's not because unbelievers act as unbelievers. It's because believers act as unbelievers. Abortion is not the fault of the left wing. Abortion is the fault of us believers who haven't been enough salt in our country to hold it back. It's no secret that when all the believers in this country, the evangelicals, get together, and the other believers as well, like the precious Catholics who love God and the different ones, when it's no secret that when they get together, this country changes. Presidents have been elected on the basis of simply the Christian vote. And yet Christians are not capable of holding back things like abortion in our country. Why do you think that is? It's not because we're not politically active. It's because we don't preach the gospel. Why do you think our military is diminishing? Because throughout our entire history, wherever the U.S. military went, missionaries followed. And President Wilson recognized this. And he talked about it. That missionaries go where the military goes. And that he felt it was important. Yet today's Christian doesn't feel like going across the street or to their neighbor or once a week with their church, whenever their church does their soul winning program, if their church does their soul winning program. By the way, on the internet, I would not be caught dead in a place that didn't soul win. I'm sorry, if your church isn't soul winning, your church is not right with God. Because they are living in disobedience to the Great Commission. Well, why can't believers go? And if for some reason there is a legitimate reason why they can't go in their church, why can't they just take some tracts and do it on their own? Or you don't even need tracts, you just need a voice. Why can't they do it on their own? Yet they don't. See, we have been called to be soul winners. We didn't think it was a great idea, so I'll give it a try. No, God called us to be soul winners. And it is His great commission for the believer. In Luke 4:18, the Word of God says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." In other words, not to the poor financially, to the poor without the gospel. "He has sent me also to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Jesus is saying that when He had the Holy Spirit, the Spirit sent Him to soul win. That when the Spirit came down like a dove, He was sent to soul win. In Matthew 12:18, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." If I am indwelled by the Holy Spirit, I am going to be called by the Spirit to be a soul winner. I'm going to be called by the Spirit to proclaim the gospel to those who are lost. This is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer, is to call that believer to soul win. We don't ignore the call of the Spirit. We don't ignore the call of the Spirit. We respond to the call of our stomach. Right? We respond to other needs biologically, but we don't respond to the Spirit. And that's a problem. The lost and dying world is the purpose we're here for. And if I think I have another purpose, as far as externally goes, beyond the body of Christ, then I'm living in delusion. The lost and dying world is my purpose. Why? I'm the body of Christ. In 1 John 4:9, "In this the love of God was made manifest toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What is this talking about? This is talking about God's expression through the fact that He sent His Son to be a soul winner. And if He loved us in this way, we ought also to love others in this way. We ought to be soul winners, He says. Because the Son did not hesitate to come from heaven, from His throne, from the majestic place as King, to soul win. Yet, one believer after another doesn't. And I frankly don't get it. Oh, I get it theologically. What I don't get is what's going on in the heart. that people don't have a lifestyle or a burden or even a thought about the lost. That the vast majority of Christianity is so comfortable that a lost person and speaking to them is almost repulsive. They refuse to do it. Say to them, be a soul winner. No, I'm not going to be a soul winner. Go preach. I'm not preaching the gospel. So much so that in some cases I know of, even pastors and churches refuse to do it. And then when people, well, occasional individuals in those churches want to soul win, they refuse. It's the mystery of iniquity. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God, even though to the lost it's foolishness. But we know what it is. It is eternal life. It's eternal life. So we don't live by the world's evaluation and standards and self-consciousness of ourselves, thinking, what are they going to say about us? They think we're nuts. You know what? They might think we're nuts, but I think they're lost. They may think I'm nuts, but I think they're going to hell. They may think I'm nuts, but I think they're going to be tormented for all of eternity unless they receive the Savior. And so we soul win. Because the Son Himself was sent. And we are sent. And we have a calling from within. Do I love if I don't soul win? Honestly, do I love if I don't soul win? I mean, God loved and sent His Son to be a soul winner. Can I say I love if I don't soul win? In 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all so that all those who might live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for Him who died and was raised again for their sake. And so we soul win because God loves. And it compels us to go out and tell them. In Isaiah 59:21, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, says the Lord, from henceforth forevermore. Parents, teach your children to be soul winners. Parents are so frequently concerned that their children learn to be accountants, or lawyers, or doctors, or something that makes money. Teach them to be soul winners. Their money is not going with them, but the souls are. Teach them to be soul winners. How do you teach them to be soul winners? By being soul winners yourselves and taking them with you. I love it when I see somebody take their kids, their little kids, soul winning. They have a toddler and they get one of those baby knapsacks and they stick them in there and they go soul winning with their kid. Well, they're teaching their kid to be soul winners. Raise up a child in the way he should go and he won't depart from it when he's old. Raise him up to be a soul winner. Raise him up to love the Word of God, to value what God values. Because one soul is, after all, more valuable than the entire world. In Isaiah 42:1, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. When the Spirit of God indwells us, he compels us, he calls us to be soul winners. I'm called as a soul winner. I don't have to ask God, is this my call? He's already said in the Bible, this is what your call is. There are certain calls that are universal to all believers. This is one of them. You are called to be a soul winner. Now, you've heard the message. It's been defined. How you respond to it is up to you. But you've heard the message. Amen?